Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and we've got a good one today because we have an institution for the United States Senate. Senator Chuck Grassley is going to join us. He is, I think, the longest-serving senator right now, if not the longest, second longest. He was elected back in he was elected in the 70s in the House of Representatives, but then elected in the early 80s. Came in with Ronald Reagan in that class. That's how long the senator has been in that position. But I'm telling you, he is as spryt as can be, even though he's 90-plus years old. He's been married to his wife, Barbara, for more than 70 years. I think it's 71 years he's been married to his wife. So I look forward to having a discussion with him about, how the Senate has changed. Maybe talk a little bit about the filibuster, just a little bit about life in Iowa. If you're into politics, if you understand the United States Senate, you can't have a thorough and complete discussion without understanding and appreciating Senator Chuck Grassley. So thrilled that he's going to be joining us here in a little bit. We'll give him a ring. All right, time to bring on the stupid, because there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, first one we're going to, the police, according to TheGuardian.com. They find a bag, and it's labeled. It actually says on it, quote, "Definitely not a bag full of drugs," end quote. Definitely not a bag full of drugs. Of course, what happens when they open it? Yeah, it's full of drugs. This happened in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, to be specific. And that's just classic, you know. Hey, don't look in here. Don't look in here. Of course, what do? They look in there. They found, evidently, the allegation is fentanyl, oxycodone, money, a loaded gun. It is unbelievable that somebody would actually do that. That counts definitely as stupid. All right, next one comes to us from www.kansascity.com. The headline alone, I think you get the full and complete story from this headline. You can't go by this headline and not stop, pause, and read it for a second time. This headline says, "A man is arrested with live gerbils in his pants." Now, I'm not sure how many gerbils were in his pants, but the fact that there was even one in his pants is worthy of looking at that headline and certainly qualifies for the stupid. It really goes to this headline, which said, "Man accused of breaking into pet store found with gerbils in his pants." This is according to Ohio cops. Ohio man is accused of breaking into a pet store and setting many of the animals loose. Whoops, shouldn't be doing that. Don't go into a pet store and start letting them all run around. All right, story number three. This one, according to the New York Post, a professor travels with live chicken for emotional support. Oh, yeah. You get emotional support, I know, from dogs and cats and there are people who legitimately need the emotional support. But this is a professor. Travels with an emotional support chicken. She can understand my emotions. This is according to a Canadian psychology professor who studies how relationships with pets support healthy development. Quote, I feel like she's so smart. She can understand my emotions. Sonia Kong told the CBC about the 11-month-old bird named Saturday, the day she adopted it from a farm outside Prince George, British Columbia. Ay, ay, ay. There might need to be some counseling there. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. All right, that's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next. Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound. The first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack valued at over $40 and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage Powered Nasal Irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage. Available at CVS and Target.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness, but love, not only justice, but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're thinking about taking out a personal loan, there's some things you need to know before you apply. Personal loans are popular because home equity loans require collateral to secure the debt. Personal loans do not. Personal loans also have the benefit of fixed interest rates, faster approval times, and they typically have to be repaid in 2 to 7 years. Plus, you can get a personal loan whether or not you own a home. The first thing you need to know is that the better your credit score and financial situation, the lower the rate you'll likely pay. Generally, a 740-plus credit score or a score in the mid-700s and above will give someone the best terms on a personal loan. When applying for a personal loan, make sure you're using it for a need as opposed to a want, like a vacation. For example, a need for a personal loan might help you save a lot of money by paying off high-cost credit card debt at a lower rate and a lot less time than only making minimum payments. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
We'll be right back.
This is Fox on Justice. A case in Fairfax County, Virginia is drawing national attention. Emails Fox 5 DC obtained show police last year warned prosecutors that given his alleged history of stabbings and assaults, if Abdul Jalloh were out of jail, he would, quote, maliciously wound or worse again. Fairfax County police say he did just that last month, stabbing and murdering Stephanie Minter at a bus stop. Now his case and Democratic Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger have drawn the attention of national Republicans, like Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt.
She will not work with ICE. If for some reason this monster gets released, she will not let ICE know when he's being released.
On her first day in office, Spanberger signed an executive order that ended state police and corrections agreements with ICE. The Department of Homeland Security says Jalloh is from Sierra Leone and entered the U.S. illegally in 2012. In 2020, a judge ordered his removal, but immigration officials have had challenges getting Sierra Leone to accept its citizens. Rich Edson, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
It's time to bring on the United States Senator Chuck Grassley, who I got to serve with in the United States Congress. He's a wonderful human being, did a lot for me personally to be super helpful, and his staff are just, they were amazing. So let's start our conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Senator, thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I don't see much of you since you left the Congress, and I appreciate all your hard work you did as chairman of your committee. But what I wanted to really tell you is I see you quite often on Fox News, and I almost get the feeling, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that you don't get very many holidays, because the regular people on Fox News always take the holiday weekends off, and they know they can get Jason to come and fill in for us. So do you even get... Do you even get Christmas home with your family?
Well, the reality is I have a studio, but it's very close by. And so, but you're right. The Sean Hannity's of the world, they like taking their holidays off. And so, or Maria Bartiromo or Laura Ingraham, you know, they take time off. So I get to fill in for them pretty often. And, I love that you're watching Fox News even on your time off. That's impressive, yeah. Senator.
Yeah, but I want to tell you, you do a good job filling in for them.
Well, thank you. I it's an honor to do so. I have a lot of fun with it, and I keep telling Sean Hannity, like, Sean, you're looking a little tired. You should take another vacation, because I do like filling in for him. It really is yeah. Fun. But I do miss. I got to tell you, you were as helpful to me in my 8+ years there. As anybody, because you and your staff, I don't know how you do it, but you have the best staff and this passion for oversight that, not very members in the House and the Senate have, but you're like at the epicenter and have the strongest passion for it. Where did that come from?
Well, it comes from the fact that, I've studied history of Congress, and over the last 100 years, Congress has delegated so much authority under Article 1 to the executive branch of government. And then I learned checks and balances in eighth grade civics. And I know that we not only pass laws and we appropriate money, but we have a responsibility to make sure that any Republican or any Democrat president faithfully executes those laws. So I've come to the conclusion that a great deal of productive time can be spent on oversight. And then that started way back in my first term in the Congress when I was going after fraud in the Defense Department. We got the False Claims Act passed. That has brought in $85 billion of fraudulent taken money. But beyond that, it's just our responsibility to make sure that we're a check on the president and that the president faithfully executes the laws. And then I've developed another thing that has helped me be successful. I've developed a good reputation for protecting whistleblowers. And these whistleblowers are, for 99% of the time, are very patriotic people. They just want the federal government to do what the law says they should do, spend the money the way Congress intended to spend it. And when they see something wrong and they go to hires up in their agency and nothing happens, then they end up being an official whistleblower because they come to Chuck Grassley or people like Jason Chaffetz when you were chairman of the committee. I'm sure you dealt with a lot of whistleblowers. You got to give them protection, but boy, they give you, I'll bet you 80, 90% of the ideas I get to investigate that you say I have a very strong staff of investigators, that information comes from whistleblowers. So when some cabinet person or agency head comes to my office because they want me to vote for their confirmation, I always preach to them about listening to whistleblowers, because where they got a few hundred people in their agency or hundreds of thousands of people in their agency as head of that agency, they don't know what's going on below, and they should listen to whistleblowers. And you know, if these people I'm talking to that are head of these agencies would listen to their whistleblowers, there wouldn't be any need for Chuck Grassley to protect whistleblowers, because it'd be taken to get taken, the action would be taken where it should be taken within the agency, and not because Senator Grassley gets on them to do what's right.
Well, amen to that. But I got to tell you, what's impressive is, and it and I can tell you, having been there, to those of us, those listening, is that you're a rarity, because you call balls and strikes. It does not matter what the administration is, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, you call balls and strikes with the way they come across the plate. And I think everybody appreciates that and respects that. And I think that's why you do get so many people who are, they find themselves in the most difficult situation, but they entrust you and, you know, they trust you and your staff to do the right thing and to offer that protection, but also expose waste, fraud, abuse, but outright corruption, which is just, it's unbelievable to me how much of that still happens. How do we, oftentimes I get people saying, yeah, well, we're going to do accountability. But I'd like to remind people that they didn't give members of Congress handcuffs. It's up to the executive branch to actually prosecute people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I hope that when we give evidence of wrongdoing, that there is prosecution. I don't find as much prosecution as I find whistleblowers that are actually fired or hurt professionally because they reported something, sincerely reporting a wrongdoing, and then get fired for it. So far, in the last 18 months, no, about 14 months, I think, since this new term has been in, we've had the cooperation of President Trump's people at lower levels to get actually 16 people that were fired whistleblowers, mostly in the Biden administration, get their job back, but maybe some of them would even go back to the first Trump administration. I don't know how to divide up the 16.
Right.
But you just got to have a reputation for following through and helping people.
Well, it's very admirable, and it's a key component in that baton that other people in the Congress need to follow that through. Senator, let me ask you, how is, you've been in Congress for a while, longest serving senator from Iowa, that's for sure. How has Congress changed since when you started? You started in the House, right? You did a few terms in the House. Then you were elected to the United States Senate. United States Senate. How has it changed since you first got there?
Okay, well, for the United States Senate, when I first came here, we started at 10 a.m. on Monday morning and went till 4 on Friday afternoon. Now the first vote is 5 o'clock on Monday. We work all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, but by mid-afternoon on Thursday, we're all over. So I tell people, you know, there's enough work for an individual senator to do 7 days a week if he wants to, all by himself. But you don't solve these countries' problems until you get 100 senators together in a body, and we got so many problems. You got to be working more than 2.5 days a week. So that's one way it's different. And then I would say probably this developed while you were still in the Congress. But I have no date for this, but over the last 10 or 15 years, we've gone from too much partisanship. And I like to explain that the cause of this may be partly because, well, the voters have divided our country into red and blue. That's one thing. But it ended up with all the conservatives, except for three or four, being in the Republican caucus, and all the progressives or socialists being in the Democrat caucus. But when I first came here, because I'm getting back to answer your question about what has changed, the Republican caucus would have a good amount of moderate and conservatives divided, not exactly even, but a lot of moderates. And then the Democrat Party would have moderates and very progressive people. And they solved a lot of things within their caucus before it ever got to the floor. Now, it's just more difficult to build bipartisanship. On the other hand, I want to explain, I don't have to explain it to you, but to your listeners, because I get this question at the back of the courtroom when I got a town meeting in Podunk Center, someplace in Iowa. Right. How come you guys can't get along? They get the impression from our media today that Republicans don't talk to Democrats and vice versa. That's not true. So I like to make that very clear, that people are losing faith in government and the institutions of government today because of all the negative media that comes out, that they always emphasize disagreement. They never emphasize agreement. I'll give you an example. 3 weeks ago out at my Judiciary Committee, we updated social media criminal law with three or four bills that got out of committee with bipartisanship, with on a voice vote, and attached to a House bill, and the House bill likes the bills we pass, so it should get to the president, updating our criminal law, and you never hear reports about that. But if Chuck Grassley and Durbin are working together on that, they don't hear about it. But if we're fighting about immigration, then it hits the news.
What about the news? How is the news? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, particularly in the House, we have everybody who wants to be a social media warrior, and I worry that they're so worried about their Instagram or Facebook that they forget that they're actually grilling a witness or supposed to be working on a piece of legislation. How has that changed through the years? Because it was non-existent when you started, but now it's omnipresent.
Yeah. I started 2007 or 8, I believe.
Yep.
And I have 1 million followers now, 1 million plus. But you read the people that react to the things that I put up. It's 80 or 90% anti anything I stand for. Listen, we're condemning social media because they're controversial and they bring bad things out sometimes. But on the other hand, I take the view that the more political discussion you can have, the stronger our democracy is going to be. So even though I don't like some of the stuff I see on social media, I think that getting people to think about it, just like we used to have three CBS, NBC, ABC used to control 90% of the news. Now they got Fox News and NSB, you know, all CNN and all that stuff. They've each has dug their own foxhole, and they're shooting from it. I'll just leave it this way. I think we have a stronger democracy the more political discussion we have.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley right after this.
Customers walk into your business, the feeling they get matters. Fresh, clean paint tells them they're in the right place. Eagle Eye Painting helps offices, shops, and restaurants feel welcoming and professional. We work around your hours, keep things neat, and finish on schedule with clear communication the whole way. We're local, licensed, bonded, insured, and we're happy to work with you in English or Spanish. Give your business the fresh look it deserves. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for a friendly, no-pressure estimate. That's 530-410 or visit 530painter.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Spring is almost here, so wake up that garden and get growing with Grange Co-op's Spring Roundup Sale, happening now through March 29th. Jump on big-time savings. Buy two, get one free blueberries, 20% off vegetable jumbo packs, and score three free chicks per family when you buy a 40 or 50-pound bag of Rogue poultry feed. From fresh blooms to happy pets, Grange Co-op has everything you need to kick off the season right. Swing by Grange Co-op at 55 Lake Boulevard in Reading, or shop online at GrangeCoop.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Jason in the house.
Let me go back, Senator. Let's go back to a little Chuck Grassley. Like, I want to hear a little bit more about growing up, what life was like in Iowa, and how you got there, because a lot of people want to be a senator. Very few get to do that. But why do you, because ultimately I want to kind of hear why you think the people of Iowa have entrusted you for so long, but that goes back to your roots, to your beginning. So let's go back to I was born in, not the year, but, you know, the part of Iowa and what life was like growing up.
I was born September 17th. That's Constitution Day, 1933, so I'm 92 years old. I live now within 4 miles of the farmhouse I was born in on that day.
That's great.
I lived on that farm until I was married at age 20. I was also a college student when I got married. And I grew up in a family that was not politically active, but I got my interest in politics when I was in grade school because at the supper table, my mom and dad were always talking about American history or maybe history generally. They were always talking about something that dealt with government, and I don't want to say it was extreme left or right political discussions. It probably wasn't much of that. It was just talking about what's going on in the world. So I knew when I got out of high school that I was either going to be a college professor of political science or I was going to be a elective office. And so I majored in political science and history at the University of Northern Iowa. And then I started working on a PhD at the University of Iowa. But at age 25, I was elected to the legislature. So let me make very clear right now, everything I told you, you may be thinking that at age 18, I knew I was going to be a U.S. senator. No, I didn't. I just knew that I wanted to be in elective office or teach government. So then at 25, I was elected to the state legislature, and I served there 16 years and a congressman of 30 years retired, and I was elected in the Watergate scandal of 1974, and I was the only Republican in the congressional delegation. I imagine that's the first time that had ever happened in the history of Iowa. And we thought the Republican Party was dead in 1974. But in 6 years in the U.S. House, I ran for the Senate, and Reagan was elected. I was elected, and we elected 16 brand new Republican senators, and all of a sudden I was in the majority. Now, you may wonder, because you read my biography, how did I get into farming when that was never in my thing? Well, my dad died in 1960, and mom wanted to stay on the family farm, and I was the only person in the family to take on that responsibility. So that's how I became a farmer. And so during my years in the legislature, I farmed 80 acres, eventually 200 acres. And then on an 80-acre farm in the 1960s, you couldn't make a living. So I was an assembly line worker putting screw holes in furnace registers at Waterloo Register, Cedar Falls, Iowa, a company that no longer exists, but it paid for me to stay in the legislature and operate a family farm. By the way, when I went to the University of Northern Iowa, we didn't have student loan programs like we do now. And so from 1951 till 1957, getting a BA and an MA, I worked 40 hours a week at the Rath Packing Company, which slaughtered pigs, cattle, and sheep and all that stuff. But I worked in the office night from 3 till 11:30, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's 5 days a week. But that paid for my education.
Wow. Now, my understanding, kind of reading through a little bit of your bio and some of the things written about you, that growing up on the farm, at least at the beginning, you didn't that house of yours didn't have electricity or indoor plumbing. Is that right?
Not till the year I got married, so I had about 6 months of an indoor bathroom and shower.
Well, that's, you know, it's that is amazing. What would your memory of your parents and the principles that you instill today? What did you learn from them along the way?
From my mother, I learned always tell the truth, and you don't have to worry about what you tell somebody else. From Dad, I learned hard work, because milking cows by hand and everything else you do on the farm is not easy work.
No, it's definitely not easy work. Explain to people, it's a term in politics we hear a lot, particularly those of us that have had to do campaigning. They call it the full grassley. Explain that to people.
Yeah. Well, that's going to each one of the 99 counties every year to have a Q&A with constituents. Those Q&As take a variety of environments, sometimes an open town meeting at the courthouse, sometimes on a factory floor if they'll shut down the assembly line and let their workers gather around me for a Q&A. I went to 13 counties 2 weeks ago, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, when we were in recess, and I think I went to three or four high schools, because you never get eight people under 18 years of age coming to your town meeting. So if I want to have opinions from young people, I got to go to them, just like the factory workers that can't get off work. I go to them, just like the people that work in the hospital. I went to a hospital or two during that 2 weeks. So the full Grassley is going to each one of the 99 counties, having a Q&A with constituents, and doing that for 45 years in a row in 13 counties so far this year.
That's just awesome, because you have a lot of members of Congress have a far fewer counties and can't seem to do it any time during their entire term. So to actually pull off the full Grassley year after year is, people talk about it. It's become a standard, and thanks to you. And, you know, it really is such an important part of the process. Senator, if you could wave your magic wand and change something or improve the United States Senate, what would you? You mentioned right up front, you know, the work time is shorter than ever. But what else would you do in that regard?
I would reinstitute the seniority system for being chairman of committees, because about 20 years ago, new members came in, and they came in with so much they thought us older people were too powerful. So they limited our tenure as chairman of committees to 6 years. So I've been chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Now this is my sixth year. I've been chairman of the Finance Committee for 6 years, and the next stop will be the Budget Committee, which I've never been chairman of. And that's one thing, because I think longevity of being chairman is very valuable. I think it's important I say one thing I don't want to change. And that is what we call the filibuster, the requirement that you have to have 60 votes to stop debate to get to finality on a bill.
Right.
And that's important because, the Senate, if you read James Madison's Federalist Papers or his report on the Constitutional Convention, you'd find out that the Senate was meant to be a deliberative body and not operate like the House of Representatives, where a majority can ignore the minority. And you can get things done in 3 or 4 hours, sometimes in 3 or 4 minutes. In the Senate, it's meant to make sure that we get full discussion to overcome some of the intense debate that happens when you have a partisan body like the House of Representatives is. And for those people that I told you yell at the back of the courthouse, how come you people can't get along, I'm always happy to be able to say that one of the things is, if you only got 53 Republicans, 47 Democrats, nothing gets done if it isn't done in a bipartisan way. I want to make clear that that shouldn't be changed. Democrats want to change it because they want to ride herd and remake America a socialist country. They want to add a couple senators from D.C., a couple senators from Puerto Rico. They want to pack the Supreme Court. Instead of 9 members, maybe 14, 18, some people are suggesting. They don't want to abide by the spirit of the Constitution, as well as the language of the Constitution, which was meant to be the principle of limited government, that government can't do anything that isn't authorized in the Constitution. The Constitution is meant to protect the people from the American, protect the people. The Constitution protects the American people from the government.
Right.
And it's just something that the 60-vote requirement makes sure happens.
Well, if you believe let me ask you this, Senator. Mike Lee makes a point about getting rid of the so-called zombie filibuster. He wants there to be a talking filibuster. I buy into your idea about debate, but, you know, somebody just raises their finger and then it's all shut down. Why not do what Senator Lee is suggesting and force the party or whatever senator to actually speak on the floor?
Well, I think that gets back to the spirit of the way it always worked. But in 2.5 days a week, you'd be here 3 months maybe, because every time an amendment is offered, you extend the period of time that people can speak 2 times on every issue. So it seems to me you don't see any end to it.
So you can offer an unlimited number of amendments, is that right?
Yeah.
But if the, let's say in this case, in this hypothetical, the Democrats, they have to hold the floor. They have to keep speaking the entire time, correct?
Well, yes, but if they suggest the absence of a quorum, the Senate shuts down, Republicans are in the majority, you got to have at least 51 Republicans show up or nothing gets done in the United States Senate.
I think part of the frustration and the challenge is that a lot of people say, yeah, you know, Mark Lee's argument at least is, hey, filibuster, we're not going to change the rules. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to make you speak. Because right now it's been more than, and I know you've been an advocate, right? You're supportive of the SAVE Act that we've got, that
he's
proposed.
Yes.
You've been a strong supporter. There was all kinds of stuff out there that you weren't supporting, but I know you've been supportive of the SAVE Act. So, you know, again, misinformation being thrown out there. But I think he does make a good point that, yeah, we do need to debate, but we're going to have to get on the floor to do it.
If the Democrats don't want to speak and there's not 51 Republicans that will make a quorum, then nothing gets done. They don't have to speak unless the majority party, in this case the Republican Party, always produces 51 people.
Yeah. I guess there are those of us, and I've been over to the House where it's just simple majority, right? So, then you got to stay there. And so,
yeah.
You know?
I don't mind staying in the United States Senate because until Colin broke my record, I went 27 years casting 8,927 votes without missing a vote. And I broke Proxmire's record of 22 years before that.
Good for you. I know. That's great.
More Jason in the House next.
Paid for by government.
The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound, the first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack valued at over $40, and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
A powerful world leader aligned with the Jewish people helps take down those trying to annihilate them. It's happening in Iran today, but it first happened 2,300 years ago in ancient Iran in the biblical story of Esther, which Jews celebrate each year as Purim. Orthodox Union Executive Vice President Rabbi Josh Joseph.
We had already been thinking about, you know, oh, here's this buildup of what's going on in sort of modern day Persia, and we're all sitting there preparing for this historical moment of, talking about Persia.
The bombing in Iran began just 2 days before the start of the Purim holiday, when Jewish communities all over the world recall the time Queen Esther heroically confronts the Persian king about the plot to kill all the Jews. The king allows the Jews to defend themselves against their aggressors. Rabbi Joseph says it's a story that has defined the Jewish community.
The rabbis teach us that all the holidays will be abolished except for Purim.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Shahi, Chris Marshall, and Nicole Bryden Bloom of Hulu's Paradise, which is back with season 2.
Every character is tapping into something very unique to them to survive in Paradise. So for each of your characters, what do you feel that is?
I think what keeps Robinson alive is her intuition. I think that same intuition drives her through season 1 and takes her from being an adversary with Xavier's character, then flipping it and then, you know, becoming connected in the two of them and taking on this sort of huge infrastructure of this big bad town.
You know, Jane operates as kind of like a soldier. She's working as Sinatra's right-hand woman at the moment, and I think that gives her a sense of purpose for sure. But we've also seen her go off the rails and make decisions that are not given as an order.
I think what always motivates Gabriella is this innate sense to serve the people at the highest good, you know, in their highest good.
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Senator, I got to ask you a few questions as we kind of wrap up here, okay?
Yeah.
Just kind of personal ones. What was your first concert that you remember attending?
The New Hartford High School Band. And I played the trombone.
You were a trombone player. When's the last time you played the trombone?
Probably May of 1951 when I graduated from high school.
There you go. What was your high school mascot?
The hawk.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been married to your wife, Barbara, who I've met several times. She's wonderful lady.
71 years.
71 years. Okay, so what's the secret? What's the secret to be married 71 years?
Always say yes.
Well, that seems to be working for you. She is just a delightful woman.
It's working better for her than it is for me.
Oh, you know what? She loves what she does. I went and did this a few years ago. I came out to Iowa for a political event, and she was there. She didn't come up and introduce herself at first. She was like in the back of the room, didn't even see her. Then when we did see her, like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? She just loves it. She didn't need to come to that meeting. She had driven, I don't know how far from the house to come out and join us at this event. She is just absolutely wonderful, and what a great partner for you in life and certainly in politics.
She was very liberal in my work as a state legislator, congressman, and senator. And the only regrets I have about politics is she was mother and father to the kids. I didn't play the proper role I should have as a father. Everything turned out very good, maybe better than if I'd played a bigger role. Because five kids grew up and grandchildren the same way. So she did a very good foundation for three generations of Grassleys.
Now, I also read that you have a specific place you'd like to go on your anniversary, your favorite place. What is that place?
Hickory House, Waterloo, Iowa. And it's just exactly like it was when we went there in the 1953 and 1954 as we were dating.
That's awesome.
And we go back then on August the 22nd or thereabouts for an annual celebration of our wedding.
That's great. Last question. Best advice you ever got?
My mother said, always tell the truth and you don't have to worry about what you told somebody else.
Yeah. It's great advice. Senator, you've been a pillar of integrity and a work ethic that is enviable and admirable in every way. Certainly, I want to thank you personally for my time in the House, because this young kid came to Congress trying to figure out what was what, and between you and your staff, you were absolutely wonderful in helping. And then when we had contentious things, difficult things happening, To be able to collaborate with you and your staff, you know, to the good people of Iowa, thanks for sending Senator Grassley, because nobody works harder and is smarter at doing it than Chuck Grassley. So, Senator, thank you again on a personal level as well.
Well, you've honored me a lot by having me testify before your committee, but more importantly, working with me on some oversight issues that I had, and it was really nice to have you as a partner.
Senator Chuck Grassley from the great state of Iowa, 13 counties into his 99-county tour this year. And thank you so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. I truly do appreciate it. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for having me. Goodbye.
Bye. I can't thank the senator enough. What a great human being. You can tell, just as bright as can be. Pretty good for age, I think, 91 years old at this point. Really quite amazing. I would appreciate it if you could rate this podcast. We'd love it if you did that. You could also subscribe to it. It comes out once a week. It'll show up in your box Monday morning in your email, and you can't miss an episode. We have hundreds of episodes from the past. You want to scroll through those. I also want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Really do appreciate you joining us. Come back next week. Subscribe. It'll show up in your box on Monday. Thank you so much for listening to Jason in the House. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this has been Jason in the House.
If your investments are in a 401k or an IRA, then listen carefully. You spent 30, maybe 40 years building your retirement. The question is, are you about to watch it take a hit you can't recover from? Military escalation in Iran, tariffs in legal chaos, the U.S. dollar under pressure it hasn't seen in years. History is clear. When this much uncertainty hits at once, the investors who moved into gold and silver first came out ahead. Right now, Advantage Gold is offering a free gold investment kit and a free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's powerful new book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000. Thousands of Americans have already rolled over a portion of their 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver, completely tax and penalty free, through Advantage Gold. Don't wait for the next surge to wish you had moved sooner. Results vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Now. At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Iran and Hezbollah are escalating attacks on Israel as a wider fight over energy and infrastructure sharpens the war. On Sunday, Iran warned it would close the Strait of Hormuz immediately if the U.S. launches attacks on Iranian power plants. President Trump said he would do just that if a 48-hour deadline did not see the complete reopening of the critical strait. Iran launched a devastating missile strike on southern Israel yesterday.
Iranian missiles struck two cities near Israel's main nuclear research center. The missile strikes injured many and shattered apartment buildings. Residents faced the devastation in the southern cities of Dimona and Arad. The Israeli military says they could not intercept those missiles that struck the largest cities near the Negev Desert nuclear center.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. The Trump administration has filed a new lawsuit against Harvard University. We get details on that from White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
The Justice Department lawsuit filed in federal court in Massachusetts says Harvard's leadership failed to address anti-Semitism on campus. As a result, it argues, the government can freeze existing grants and seek repayment for grants already paid. It's the latest chapter in a battle between President Trump and the university. In a pair of lawsuits filed by the university, Harvard has said it's being unfairly penalized for refusing to adopt the administration's views. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The national mammal of the United States is getting in on America's 250th birthday celebration. Three bison statues cast in bronze have taken up a permanent display outside the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History here in Washington, D.C. The bison earned its official status as the nation's mammal under a 2016 law. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-583-0141. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-583-0141. That's 800-583-0141. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
French voters have returned to the polls today for the second and final round of municipal elections in over 1,500 localities. Today's vote is a test of the balance of power on France's local political map before the 2027 presidential race. It's also a measure of whether the conservative right can convert national momentum into control of major cities, where it has often struggled to break through. The most closely watched contests are concentrated in those major cities after a first round that left France's traditional left and right just about dead even. Nearly 90,000 bottles of a children's pain reliever have been recalled due to reports of particles and other possible contaminants. The FDA is recalling Taro Pharmaceuticals' Children's Ibuprofen Oral Suspension. The medication comes in berry-flavored formula for kids as young as 2. Consumers reported black particles in the product. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. What is the number one source of renewable energy in America? It's not solar or wind power.
It's hydropower, which is the generation of electricity using the energy from flowing or falling water. It provides a consistent and clean supply of electricity. Hydropower contributes about 37% of the total renewable electricity generated in the U.S. But the Committee to Unleash Prosperity says environmentalists often oppose this cheap, reliable, and renewable energy source because they hate dams. Ken Lorman reporting.
Today is Sunday, March the 22nd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including Captain Kirk. Actor William Shatner is 95 years old. Former U.S. poet laureate Billy Collins is 85 today. Musician George Benson turns 83. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Has got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
I've heard some analysts say that Iran could have had a functioning intercontinental missile to threaten the United States in as few as 6 months.
If left unimpeded, yes. Was it the intelligence community's assessment that nevertheless, despite this obliteration, there was a, quote, imminent nuclear threat posed by the Iranian regime?
It is not the intelligence community's responsibility to determine what is and is not an imminent threat.
No, it is precisely your responsibility.
Well, got contentious there at the worldwide threat hearing on Capitol Hill. Meantime, the 2026 annual threat assessment out on the Iran strategic overview. Operation Epic Fury almost certainly has curtailed Iran's ability to project power, but it is using all of its remaining capabilities to retaliate against us and our allies in the hope of bringing the conflict to a close. If the regime survives, Tehran almost certainly will seek to exact revenge for the death of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Meantime, the different bullet points of what's happening in Epic Fury that you see there. More than 7,800 targets struck. Combat flights, more than 8,000. Vessels damaged or destroyed, 120 plus. Let's bring in our panel, Fox News Chief Political Analyst Britt Hume. The five co-hosts, Jessica Tarloff and former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer. You know, Britt, that hearing, a lot of back and forth on the imminent threat question obviously comes in the shadow of the National Counterterrorism Center Director Joe Kent resigning, saying he did not see an imminent threat. The White House, the president pushing back on that, and a lot of the hearing dealt with that question.
It certainly did, Brett, and it's easy to see why. The Democrats would like people to think that this war is misbegotten, improperly mounted, and illegally done. And the problem with the imminent threat is that it's never really been enshrined in law anywhere. It's been used as a kind of a standard rationale for undertaking military action without congressional approval. But the president's freedoms as commander-in-chief to act have been sufficient in time after time to undertake this military action. And it's not a particularly wise standard anyway, because the implication of it is unmistakable, which is that a threat has to be right on top of us when it may be too late before anything can be done to halt it.
Let's take another listen to another exchange with Senator Bennett and the CIA director.
President Trump has offered no credible justification for an imminent threat, no clear goals.
Here's the most important thing. You mischaracterize this as saying there aren't clearly defined goals. The defined goals are very clear. Degrade and destroy the IRGC Navy that could control the strait.
Thank you.
These are all defined goals
that were set out specifically.
The premise of the question is that...
Mr. Chairman, I can't get a word in edgewise. He won't answer the question, and then he's taken a minute of my time.
You're both big boys. You can handle it yourself.
Okay.
You're both big boys, Jessica. Your thoughts?
They are both big boys, but this is the core of the disagreement. And what Senator Bennett is speaking to is something that the American people even feel, which is that the goalposts on Operation Epic Fury have been moving on an not everyday basis, but at least every other day basis. And I think a critical component of this imminent threat question is the fact that President Trump said just a couple of days ago, we didn't know that this was going to happen, that Iran was going to retaliate. And evidence on the ground would suggest that we did know that, because the Iranians even sent a letter to the UN, I think on February 19th, saying that if they were struck, they were going to retaliate. And a guy named Nate Swanson, who actually was in the NSC under Biden and then worked on Trump's negotiating team when we were trying to get a new nuclear deal, also wrote a piece in Foreign Affairs magazine 4 days before the Israeli-American attack. So the evidence was out there that this was going to be the response. I'm not passing judgment on whether it was right or wrong to do it, but this idea that they had no idea that Iran was going to use all of their capabilities to push back on us, all of their proxy forces, and make this as miserable as we are seeing that it is, and also close the Strait of Hormuz, is unfounded.
Ari, in the meantime, Iran is losing key figures. If you put up the pictures of the Iran figures that have been eliminated by mainly Israeli strikes, Ali Larijani, senior official, the intel minister has been confirmed by the Iranians, taken out. The missiles and their ability to strike has been degraded significantly, according to CENTCOM, as have drone factories and the Navy. So there is tangible evidence that stuff is adding up as far as strikes against the Iran regime.
Well, there's no question about that. And I think what Jessica just described is miserable, perhaps from any type of humanitarian point of view. I think you could say things are miserable in every war. This is not miserable. This is what victory looks like. The United States and Israel are finally bringing justice to one of the worst regimes in the world that threatened us, threatened Europe, threatened Israel, threatened the Middle East, and is attacking its Arab neighbors in the Middle East. What amazed me about the panel today was watching all those Democrats who have statements on the record saying Iran is a threat, Iran must never be allowed to receive nuclear weapons, say to the three witnesses, why are you doing anything about the threat that we've been talking about for years? How dare you act on the things that we said needed to be stopped? I mean, this is what drives me crazy about the polarization in Washington, where people now abandon the positions they held when it comes to war and peace and defending our nation. And they no longer are willing to support our nation at war because they'd rather just argue against the positions they themselves took.
Yeah,
I wish another bite of this. Support this. There's always a minority that don't, but when we're at war, you would hope it's a bigger group.
Another bite at this apple on the Joe Cantist. This is Senator Cornyn, Brett.
Is there anything to indicate that Iran had ceased in its nuclear ambitions or in its desire to continue to build ballistic missiles capable of threatening American troops and allies in the Middle East?
Senator, no. In fact, the intelligence reflects the contrary.
So you disagree with Mr. Kent?
I do.
I would think any fair-minded assessment of the situation, even based on open sources, would reflect the danger Iran poses, the regime poses to the United States. Isn't it true they've basically been at war with the West since 1979 during the Iranian Revolution and have American blood on their hands?
That's absolutely correct. I think Iran has been a constant threat to the United States for an extended period of time and posed an immediate threat at this time.
Britt, there's a hunger for this to wrap up, and every question, usually to the president at some point, says, how long will this last? He continues to say it'll wrap up very soon, but we don't know what very soon looks like.
No, we don't, and we may not for some time, Brett, but the important thing is that the president seems not to be stampeded here now that we're in this, and the fat is in the fire, and we are definitely fighting, we are at war with Iran with some very worthy objectives in mind. The problem of the president is, of course, that he continues to state them somewhat erratically from one day to the next. But as you heard the witness trying to say there in the exchange with Senator Bennett, there are some serious goals here. The elimination of the nuclear threat, the ending of the threat that Iran has opposed to its neighbors, Israel in particular, but other states as we've seen more recently as well. And, you know, this is a country that is a menace within the civilized world. And ending that is a very worthy goal, which I think is what the president is shooting for, whether it means a very weakened but continuing same government or whether it means a new government remains to be seen. But these are worthy goals, and the complaints about it, seems to me, don't match up to the mission.
Meantime, Jessica, we still are in this partial government shutdown with DHS and the funding there. You're now approaching the last government shutdown that was more full, but it was at 43 days. We're getting there. USA Today, White House offers concession on body cameras in bid to end DHS shutdown. In their letter to Congress, White House officials pledged to limit immigration enforcement activities at so-called sensitive locations, such as churches and schools. Included in the promise, however, was a narrow carve-out for immediate needs like national security, flight risks, public safety. They've also come forward, as we've noted before, on body cameras and other things, trying to get the negotiation going. So far, no luck.
Yeah, so far no luck, and I'm not sure what we could reasonably expect, because it does seem like the change to having to use a judicial warrant is really the line in the sand for the Democrats and the unmasking of agents. I think more so those judicial warrants. I can't really see where the two sides meet on that, so I worry that this is just going to be a grit your teeth and bear it, and that there is potential that things just start to deteriorate. You see people complaining about what's going on at airports. Usually things change when people are inconvenienced themselves. So I'm bracing for, you know, an elected not being able to get somewhere that they want to go and coming back to the table on it. But the judicial warrants are a real sticking point, and Democrats are dug in.
Yeah, and, you know, where does that fall politically, Ari? Here is Mark Wayne Mullen in his hearing about the funding question.
We have to get DHS funded. We have to. My friends, we have to set the partisan side down. And we have to realize that we're putting our homeland and the peace of mind at risk for the American people.
So where is the lever there, Ari, to Jessica's point, when the pain gets really intense? And it may start.
Well, I think I agree with what Jessica said about when the pain of the constituents is so great that they start really going to their members of Congress saying, you've got to open up the government. I can't stay on all these lines this long. I missed my flight. This is the type of real life change that bothers people, that they're being forced to endure, that no citizen should have to endure because people in Washington can't get their act together. That tends to be a catalyst in making the politicians eventually reach an agreement. But what caught my ear today, Brett, was Senator Mullen said that he would be willing to consider switching from administrative warrants to judicial warrants for ICE raids on people's homes and private property. Now, that is a very serious statement. And if I were the Democrats, I would grab it, run with it, and reopen the government based on that. He said it today, and that applies only to homes and private property. It does not apply to streets. It does not apply to numerous other places where most people in ICE are wrapped up, or certainly the ability of states that cooperate with ICE to turn people over to them. But this is what the Democrats have been calling for. Senator Mullen said it today. I think you've got the ingredients there for a solution.
Maybe so. We shall see. Panel, thanks so much.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SELECT to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SELECT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SELECT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Ashley DeVore, working with the Fox Celebrity Profile with Priyanka Chopra Jonas and Carl Urban of the pirate movie Action Adventure The Bluff. I attempted some sword fight stunt training before our interview, so I asked them for some advice on how to make this look cool.
I think like being able to not feel the heaviness of the sword physically for me, that was important, and that required a lot of practice for me.
Yeah, well, it is true. I'm probably one of the last actors that can actually claim to have been taught by Darth Vader, a.k.a. Bob Anderson, who was, you know, under the helmet when they did all the lightsaber stuff. So it was really wonderful to be able to bring that sort of skill set back for this, but in many ways actually ramp it up.
What is one stunt for both of you that you've done throughout your career that you're still so amazed you were able to do?
For me, I can say it was getting to do a reverse 180 in a Mercedes G-Wagon in Moscow for the Bourne Supremacy.
I had to drive an Aston Martin on the streets of Paris and then Berlin, and it was really cool.
Plus, it's on Prime Video now. Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute. A multi-state manhunt has ended with the arrest of an Iowa man in connection with a triple homicide in Wayne County, Utah. The suspect, 22-year-old Ivan Miller, was taken into custody in Colorado. He is accused of killing three women in what investigators are describing as crimes of convenience. Authorities say 86-year-old Margaret Oldroyd was his first victim, and her body was found hidden in a cellar on her property. Police report Miller then stole Oldroyd's vehicle and drove to a trailhead where he allegedly killed two hikers, 65-year-old Linda Dewey and her 34-year-old niece, Natalie Graves. The women were discovered by their husbands when they failed to return from their walk. He faces three counts of aggravated murder, among other charges. Wayne County officials state there is no connection between the suspect and any of the victims. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1992.
Today, we have closed the book on apartheid, and that chapter is finally closed.
I experimented with marijuana at a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
It's sad to see the community that I grew up in go up in flames like this. It really is.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along?
Doesn't help matters when primetime TV has Murphy Brown, a character who supposedly epitomizes today's intelligent, highly paid professional woman, mocking the importance of fathers by bearing a child alone.
It has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. I wish you a very heartfelt good night.
Dade County, as we know it, especially from the Kendall area south, is never going to be the same. It is fundamentally destroyed.
News as it happened then,
news as it happens now. This is Fox News Talk. Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
The character of warfare has fundamentally changed. As we are seeing play out in Ukraine and in the Middle East, autonomous systems are no longer emerging. They are a reality on the battlefield. Our adversaries understand this. They are not just buying new technology, they are creating entirely new organizations to master it.
The application of affordable mass of drone technology on the battlefield is something that we're going to have to contend with.
Well, tonight we're going to discuss the prospect of autonomous drone technology on the battlefield, where it is, where it's going. Our guest is Eric Prince, non-executive chairman of Swarmer, new company. Eric, great to see you.
Nice to see you, Brett.
Tell me about the company, first of all, and this technology that we've seen kind of evolve really exponentially through Ukraine.
Yeah, look, the fundamental nature of warfare has really changed, especially since Ukraine. What started as a few FPV, like small racing drones, you know, flown with goggles, and crashing into a tank, has now evolved to wide-ranging, short-range, medium-range, long-range, and it's what it's done is it's democratized precision strike. And so now, at very long range, for $30,000, the Iranians are launching a Shahed drone that's flying deep into U.S. protected areas and killing, destroying U.S. radars, billion-dollar tracking radars, headquarters facilities. The soldiers that have been killed so far were killed in Kuwait at a secure facility by these very cheap, very long-range drones. Those are flying 2,000 kilometers plus. It's literally pushed American warplanes having to reposition at least another 1,000 miles away from the battle space because of the proliferation of cheap weaponry.
You've got a new IPO in this Swarmer doing well so far. Explain to me, you can organize one pilot, essentially, can deploy hundreds of drones and simultaneously attack something, right?
70% of the casualties caused in the Ukraine war are now caused by drones. So Ukraine needs to be able to field millions and millions of drones, but they don't have millions of pilots. So a company like Swarmer comes along and creates a brain that allows one pilot to control dozens or even hundreds of drones simultaneously, where the human sets the parameters, sets the target, and then the drones, effectively in a swarm, organized, so that even if some of them are taken out on the way to their objective, the drones figured out amongst themselves to retarget, reprioritize, to get after and engage the whatever target they're after. It could be a tank, it could be an air defense system, it could be a bunker. It has made the battlefield fully transparent, so that anything that moves is immediately under risk.
Yeah. So we've seen a lot of drone usage by Iran. The American military is using drones now back at Iran. Where does that fit in?
It means that the standoff, the area, the beaten zone, the area where you can be engaged has gotten much, much, much longer. If the U.S. Navy does try to sail into the Straits of Hormuz now, You can guarantee they'll be engaged by autonomous underwater systems, effectively an underwater drone, by a suicide-type jet ski, a kamikaze jet ski that drives itself into a ship, and, of course, anti-ship missiles and, of course, long-range drones. So it greatly increases the threat envelope on land, at sea, and by air.
Is there a lot of competition in this space?
Well, I would say I'm particularly happy to be excited, involved with Swarmer, because the Ukrainians have had to evolve at the edge of battle. And you go from idea to prototype to proven capability or not in a matter of weeks on the Ukraine battle space, because the Russians are very good at fighting at their game, and the electronic warfare, the countermeasures to go against are severe. Versus the U.S. Has moved at a much slower pace because of, I would say, a lot of bureaucracy in the purchasing apparatus of the Department of War over the past decades, and it really have allowed a over-concentration into a cartel-like behavior of the super major defense contractors. And our job with Swarmer is to allow, is to put great tools in the hands of warfighters, and we certainly intend to bring other Ukrainian technologies to the American warfighter. And the nature of the competitive innovation that's happened in Ukraine has at least lowered that cost. I mean, a simple example: a Javelin missile costs around $150,000. That's an anti-tank missile. $200,000 for the launcher. And now you can take a precision drone shot out to 15 kilometers with a drone and kill a tank for $750 or less than $1,000. So it's massive orders of magnitude change. And if we don't adapt, we will perish.
Yeah, the future of the battle space is changing quickly. The company's Swarmer, Eric Prince, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brett.
We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1973.
I will not place the blame on subordinates, on people whose zeal exceeded their judgment, and who may have done wrong in a cause they deeply believe to be right.
I'm getting out of baseball because I don't feel that when I go on the field, I want to give 100%. And the people of America should look at a guy like myself that loves a game of baseball and being on the field and not being able to produce.
But it was the unanimous judgment of my advisors that resignation would carry a presumption of guilt sufficient to prevent a defense on the merits. And I'm afraid that what I've been hearing and seeing and reading persuades me that they were right.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Get those W-2s ready. Tax season has arrived. It's the Fox Business Tax Tips. Fox News Radio's Ginny Cassola and Hillary Barsky are joined by the hosts of the Fox Business Network to provide you with the latest tips, tricks, and updates on filing your taxes. From deadlines to tax law changes to the latest deductions, we'll cover it all to make sure you keep that hard-earned money where it belongs, in your pocket. Listen and follow the Fox Business Tax Tips at foxnewspodcasts.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On April 9, 1959, NASA named the first group of American astronauts, selected from a list of 110 candidates. In just 2 years, on May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard would become the first American astronaut in a suborbital flight.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're thinking about taking out a personal loan, there's some things you need to know before you apply. Personal loans are popular because home equity loans require collateral to secure the debt. Personal loans do not. Personal loans also have the benefit of fixed interest rates, faster approval times, and they typically have to be repaid in 2 to 7 years. Plus, you can get a personal loan whether or not you own a home. The first thing you need to know is that the better your credit score and financial situation, the lower the rate you'll likely pay. Generally, a 740 plus credit score or a score in the mid 700s and above will give someone the best terms on a personal loan. When applying for a personal loan, make sure you're using it for a need as opposed to a want, like a vacation. For example, a need for a personal loan might help you save a lot of money by paying off high cost credit card debt at a lower rate and a lot less time than only making minimum payments. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
Good evening. I'm Bret Baier. We're coming to you tonight from Capitol Hill. In just a few moments, we'll have an exclusive interview with the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune. This comes as a partial government shutdown over immigration enforcement drags on, and the president puts pressure on Republicans to pass the Save America Act. But first, some other stories making headlines tonight. President Trump is expressing frustration with European allies reluctant to help the effort to escort tankers through the Strait of Hormuz. The president posted that he has always considered NATO a one-way street, quote, "We will protect them, but they will do nothing for us," in his words. One of the president's top terrorism officials, meantime, resigning over the Iran conflict. National Counterterrorism Center Director Joe Kent says there is no imminent threat to the U.S. from Iran. White House correspondent Aisha Hazmi starts us off in the North Lawn. Good evening, Aisha.
Right, good evening to you. President Trump says he is not happy with NATO after most ally nations rejected his call to help secure the Strait of Hormuz. He's calling that decision very foolish.
I think NATO's making a very foolish mistake. This was a great test because we don't need them, but they should have been there.
President Trump's trip to China now officially delayed due to the conflict as administration officials try to calm Americans, admitting the longer this goes on, it would hurt consumers.
If it were to be extended, it wouldn't really disrupt the U.S. economy very much at all. It would hurt consumers, but that's like really the last of our concerns right now because we're very confident that this thing is going ahead of schedule.
And Brett, also the president once again calling on the Senate to pass the Save America Act, threatening Republicans that he'll never endorse anyone who votes against it. The Senate is now officially debating that bill, and that could last anywhere from a few hours to several days. Brett?
Aisha Hazmi from the North Lawn. Aisha, thank you. The man who's trying to get the Save America Act passed in the Senate is the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune. He joins us tonight. Senator, thanks for doing this.
Good to be with you. Thanks, Brett.
You're now on the bill.
Where is this? Where does it stand at this moment?
We're on it. We took the House-passed bill, which had basically the two provisions that would require you to prove citizenship in order to register to vote, and then you'd have to show an ID when you actually vote. And that came over in the form of a message, which enables us here in the Senate to get on that at 51 votes. Typically, it would be 60. We'd have to have cloture on the motion to proceed. But we're on the bill, and we're going to be debating it for the next few days, and we'll see how long after.
But you're pessimistic that you're going to get the votes needed to pass this bill.
Well, I'm pessimistic because I'm always pessimistic that Democrats are actually going to come to their senses and do what common sense would dictate they do, and that is support this. I mean, these are things that are supported broadly across Americans of all political parties, including Democrats. But we would need, in order to pass it in the Senate, 60 votes. And that means that we're going to have a certain number, at least, of Democrats. And maybe during the course of the debate, they'll be won over. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I'm saying I have to be prepared at some point that this is going to come to a conclusion. But I think what we wanted to do is put them on the record, force them to defend a position which we think is indefensible, particularly where the American people are on this. So it'll be a free-willing debate on the floor, and in the end, we'll see if the Democrats come around and deliver some votes.
But you know the frustration here. You have head counters that look
right
at the votes, and if you bring this to the floor and knowing it can't clear 60 votes, you're not willing to kind of vote procedurally to change the rules to pass it, then is this, legislating, or are you kind of just messaging for the election?
Well, it's legislating. I mean, actually, if you look at the substance of the policy, this is about safe and secure and elections in this country and making sure that, we have an election process that is actually with the right people, not just the illegals who are in this country have an opportunity to vote. We want to make sure that if you're in this country, you have to be a citizen of this country actually to exercise and cast your vote. So I think that's a fairly simple position and one that Democrats ought to eventually get on board with. But if they don't, it's obviously an issue that we will be able to use, I think, in the fall elections. But so it has politics around it, but this is a goal is to achieve a policy outcome, and that is to try and get a requirement in law that in federal elections that you would have to be a citizen in order to register to vote, and you'd have to show an ID in order to vote in our elections.
And there's no way to split it up, to do pieces of that. Is there any way any piece of this could get past the 60 votes?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we're looking at how to do that. There are other pieces of the Save America Act in addition to those two. Those are the two that passed the House. The President has also introduced the idea of mail-in voting, and so we've got some reforms and modifications to that. There's also the issue of whether or not biological males ought to be able to compete in girls' sports. There is the transgender surgery issue. Those are all issues on which I think most Americans, at least if they're Americans who are applying common sense, vote for and support in very big numbers. The only folks who don't support it, appears at least at the moment, are Democrats in the Senate. But we'll see if that changes over the course of time. What I've said all along, Brett, is that what we will do is we will guarantee a debate on this issue. Obviously, it's a big priority for the President. There are a lot of people across the country who want to see this voted on, and we will guarantee a vote at the end of that, and we'll see where people stand.
I don't want to dwell on this too much, but some of your colleagues say the talking filibuster is the way to go. Here's the Utah Republican Senator, Mike Lee.
If a small handful of Democratic lawmakers want to interfere with the will of the American people, let them earn it. Make them speak, make them stand on the Senate floor, and explain why in front of all the American people.
To why in specific detail are you convinced that a talking filibuster doesn't work?
Well, first off and foremost, because we don't have the votes for it. And that's, again, it's a simple function of the math in the Senate. It would take even a talking filibuster, it would take 51 votes. We don't have 51 votes for that in the United States Senate.
But why is that? Why are Republican colleagues not going to force the issue? The President's obviously putting his foot here, saying this is the most important thing that needs to come out of this Congress.
Right. And I know people don't like to hear this, but the talking filibuster, it takes you back kind of basically to the 1800s. You go back to the 19th century and the way things were done in the Senate. And we can't find an example in modern Senate history where a piece of legislation passed via the talking filibuster. But in the meantime, what it does
do is... What he would say, if they got tired and exhausted, it would be 51 votes.
It would be at 51 votes. But between now and then, and you're talking about unlimited debate, and any time an amendment, for example, is offered and fails, if it gets tabled, you you start all over. You reset the clock. And it really favors the minority. When Harry Reid was the majority leader, Democrat leader in the Senate, same thing with Chuck Schumer. They both looked at doing this and opted against it. What it would force us to do in the Senate is vote on all kinds of Democrat amendments, whether it's Epstein or blocking President Trump's tariffs, or, you know, Obamacare subsidies. You can go right down the list. War powers, abortion. There are a whole bunch of votes that would be that we would be forced to take, not only really hard political votes for a lot of our colleagues, but also votes that in the end, some of which would pass and go on the bill. And once issues like that are attached to this bill,
it's a poison pill.
It's a poison pill. So there, we've looked at, believe me, we've shopped this out, we've gamed it out, we've done all the contingencies and said, is there a way in the end that we can get an outcome? Because to me, that's what it's about. If you can achieve a policy outcome, yeah, then the process we're willing to look at. But in the end, this is about really having a debate about the substance. And the substance of this bill is whether or not people who are in this country illegally, non-citizens, ought to be able to vote in American elections.
The other side of this argument says if Democrats take control, they are taking out the filibuster.
Right.
There's just a sense that they sing from the same sheet of music. They vote a lot together, much more than Republicans do. Why on this issue, even narrowly, can't you do that?
Well, the legislative filibuster as distinct from the talking filibuster. We don't have the votes for either. We don't have the votes for the talking filibuster, but the legislative filibuster, we really don't have the votes. I mean, that
because
is
you lose like five or six Republicans?
Oh, but way more than that. On the legislative filibuster right now, I mean, without, I don't want to handicap it here on the public, but that is a very deeply held view by a lot of Senate Republicans that if the Democrats want to go there, if at some point they decide they want to steal the car, fine, but we're not going to hand them the keys to do it. And then own all the things that we would enable, all the things the Democrats want to do once they nuke the filibuster. But again, that's a hypothetical. We don't know that it'll happen. If they get the majorities in the House and the Senate and the White House at some point in the future, maybe they go down that path. We don't know for sure. But I know that right now there are a majority of Republican senators who don't want to go down that path.
Don't go anywhere. More of this interview coming right up.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SELECT to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SELECT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SELECT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage Powered Nasal Irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage, available at Walmart and Walgreens.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
So tell me if this scenario is wrong. You let the Senate debate this bill for a few days. You file cloture, which essentially kills it because you don't have the 60 votes. You then clear the floor for the confirmation of Mark Wayne Mullen as Homeland Security Secretary. And then is that the goal?
Well, we'll get to Mark Wayne, but we won't be done with this bill probably at that point. I mean, this rules very well could roll through the weekend, could roll into next week. We'll have debates on it. At some point, we will come to a conclusion. And then we'll find out where everybody is. But they will be at 60-vote thresholds, absent effort by Republican senators to nuke the filibuster, which, like I said, just based on the math, is not going to happen. So we're talking about 60-vote thresholds. The question is, are there Democrats in the course of this debate who could be persuaded, along with their constituents, who I said overwhelmingly agree with this position, to come out and support actually requiring people to be citizens to vote in our elections?
I mean, some of them said the mail-in thing is a non-starter for them. There's some Republicans who are saying that.
Right, and we've worked on that issue. In fact, we made some modification in conjunction with the White House. That's an issue that's really important to the president. And there are parts of mail-in balloting that are just rife with fraud. Ballot harvesting, drop boxes, unsolicited mailing. You know, I mean, if there's a big difference between if I write a letter and say I'm a registered vote here and I prove that with an ID and request a ballot, as opposed to them just being shipped out there to everybody and nobody knows who at these residences is picking up and voting. I think that there are real issues when it comes to mail-in balloting, and the president's insistent that we address it. And I think the legislation that we have in front of us now, working with our states, many of whom rely heavily on mail-in balloting, including South Dakota, that we do it in a way that gets after the fraud, gets after the abuse of some of these policies, but also protects the validity of a state to enable people to vote who need to vote and who are legitimate voters.
Meantime, there's a partial government shutdown that continues when it comes to the Department of Homeland Security. The TSA lines getting longer in places like Atlanta, and we're seeing a lot of potential problems as more TSA agents don't show up because they haven't gotten a check.
Is there a solution here?
Well, there's a solution, and that is to fund the government and not defund law enforcement, which is what the Democrats want to do. They are back to that theme, which didn't serve them very well in the past. But they don't want to fund ICE, our Customs and Immigration Enforcement. They don't want to fund Border Patrol, which is, you know, tasked with securing and making sure that the border is secure, which is something during the Biden era where millions of people just flocked into the country. And President Trump has secured it, shut it down, and now the Democrats don't want to fund the agency that's tasked with doing that. So, but we're on, you know, we waited 18 days for their latest offer. The White House put forward a good faith offer to fund DHS. Democrats waited 18 days to counter that. So we now have a counter from them. The White House has put out the things that they've been willing to do to address some of the concerns that Democrats have had with respect to reforms. And we just got a letter from Tom Holman and from James Braid at the White House that lays some of those out.
Is there hope that that gets some movement?
Well, it should. I mean, I can't believe, again, the Democrats are defending a position that not only were there reforms in the initial bill, which they helped negotiate and then walked away from, but since then, the White House has negotiated a number of subsequent reforms, including body-worn cameras, more money for those, audits for those, limitations on where ICE agents can go, like places like hospitals, schools, those sorts of things. And then, and also they've made a number of changes with respect to how, when they do these, when they're conducting these operations and how they're identified and making sure that people know who this is. And that's a concern, obviously, too. The one thing that the administration did not want to give on, and I think it's a legitimate concern, is masks. As long as you have sanctuary cities and a lot of these locally elected officials who are encouraging doxing of law enforcement officials, you know, you cannot, these are people who need to be protected, and they need to be able to conduct these some of the things the Democrats are asking for are non-starters. But I think the White House has come a long ways to address the concerns Democrats have had and suggested a number of reforms, which, frankly, the Democrats in the Senate ought to take. I don't understand it, but in the meantime...
But you're going to hold the line, is essentially what you're saying.
Well, I mean, they are holding all these agencies of government hostage, including TSA, including the cyber office, which runs all of our cyber operations, and here we are living in a dangerous world where we're worrying about Iranian cyber operations. It's FEMA, you know, Federal Emergency Management Agency, Coast Guard. There are a whole range of DHS functions that are funded by that appropriations bill that the Democrats are choosing not to open.
Last thing, competitive races, Senate races, 2026, you have a number of them. You have arguably good candidates. However, the environment is turning. Mm-hmm. If you were to couch it today, where is the Senate come November 2026?
Well, hard to say exactly, but, you know, we're a little ways out. But I do think that in elections, by and large, the people who decide elections, they're the middle of the electorate, the bases are generally going to come out. We want to make sure that the president, if he's all in on this, and he'll be out there, I'm sure, in force, bringing the Republican base out. It's those, you know, the voters in the middle, independent voters, and making sure that they turn out. And I think part of that is having an economic message that connects with them. I believe, one, you've got to have quality candidates, which we do, not only the races that we're defending, but also some of our pickup opportunities. You've got to have a record of accomplishment to talk about, which we do. And then you've got to have the resources to get that story, get that message out. And then finally, you've got to have a get-out-the-vote operation that ensures that people vote.
Last thing, somebody emailed in, Josh Williams said, please ask the senator if he can stop letting senators take vacations or closing the Senate until they settle the budget and pass it. Not going home, not leaving the office until it's done. If I have a project with a deadline, I have to work until it's completed or I run the risk of losing my job. Someone needs to say we take a vote every day until it's done. You understand that frustration, right?
I do. And you know, we were here more last year in 2025 than any Senate in history, with the exception of 1976. And we went back eight decades into the 1940s. We cast more votes last year in the Senate than any Senate, with one exception, and that's 1976. I was a freshman in high school. I'm not sure what was going on here, but this has been a very busy Senate. And, and yes, there are times like when the Democrats shut down the government for 43 days in the fall. If there is a deal in the works, if there are negotiations going on, you can darn well bet we're going to keep people here and vote on it. But when Democrats walk away from the table, like they did and have now for 18 days, they haven't submitted an offer, obviously there are other things that our senators do, and we have a schedule that we lay out at the beginning of the year and that they plan around. But I can assure you, at the moment, it looks like there's a deal to be voted on. We will have everybody here to vote on it. And we're here this week, and we'll be here next week, and obviously talking about the Save America Act, and hopefully, at some point, a breakthrough on DHS funding.
Senator Thune, we appreciate the time.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
You bet.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full-pound bags of original U.S. government-struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound. The first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack, valued at over $40 and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Hear ye good folk, you are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.